In the last couple of weeks, we've been thinking about the Lord's Prayer, the sort of things that Jesus can teach us about our own prayers from his prayer and from his example. In the first part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to leave ourselves out of the picture and pray for the things God tells us we should pray for. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In these things, we are to keep God's glory alone before our eyes. We pray these things if we really love God. We don't pray them for any advantage that may come to us. That's a hard thing to do, especially when our minds are full of our own concerns and our own needs. And yet Jesus is telling us that this is the sort of prayer that honors God. This is the sort of prayer that pleases God. This is the sort of balance we're to try and achieve in our own prayers, of putting God first, his will and his glory. But in the second part of the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray for ourselves. Of course, that doesn't mean we can forget God and his glory now. There's nothing the Christian says or does that can be considered apart from his or her relationship with the Lord Jesus. Even in the most insignificant matters of food or drink or the way we spend our daily lives, all these things are to be brought into our prayers and into our thinking in relationship to the Lord Jesus. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus tells us we should pray those words. But why pray it when it's perfectly obvious that God provides for everybody's needs? I mean, there are people all over the world who don't recognize God, don't give their lives to Jesus, don't seem to be concerned about doing God's will, and they still get their daily bread. So why should we, as those who are seeking to please God, need to pray this prayer? Well, again, it comes back to the question of honoring God. It's a way of honoring God. Of course, we all recognize that the immediate source of our daily bread is the supermarket. And if you go back behind that, a farm, and those who produce things on the farm, or perhaps our own labors, we can see that immediate source. But this prayer is teaching us to recognize that God is the ultimate source of all that we have and all that we need. The psalmist said in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And it's very easy to forget that, particularly those of us who are living in the city, and we're surrounded by a man-made environment. We're surrounded by everything that's provided for us automatically in the shops. It's very easy to forget that behind everything, behind all things, is God as the ultimate source of everything that we enjoy. And just because the average man doesn't recognize this doesn't mean to say that God will automatically cut off his daily bread. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. In one sense, you see, God shows his grace to all men by providing for our needs. And how wonderfully God provides for our needs in this country. And that makes it all the more tragic that men don't recognize God as the source of all that they have, and that they don't turn round and give him thanks. And perhaps that's the greatest of all tragedies, that we who live in a country such as this, with as much as we have, are not prepared to give thanks where thanks is due to our Heavenly Father who provides it all. Now, when we pray for our daily bread, we're not just thinking of food, literal bread, but everything we need in the material sphere to live the life God has assigned to us. And that's a bit strange. Jesus tells us to pray for our physical needs before our spiritual needs. However, as one Christian writer has put it, life in a physical sense or in a biological sense is the basis upon which all depends. So I must pray about my existence. But the moment I do so, I come to realize that the physical is only one side of my life. There is another side. In fact, it's quite likely that when Jesus used this expression, he meant us to include spiritual needs, what we might call spiritual bread, as well as our physical needs. So the more we pray this prayer, the more we honor God, the more we acknowledge him as the true source of everything we need. And the more we pray this prayer, the more we should begin to see God's answers. You see, the man who doesn't pray the prayer will only see life in terms of good fortune or lucky breaks. And that's not the true picture of reality as far as Jesus is concerned. Listen to these amazing words from Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus said, "You can buy two sparrows for a penny, yet not a single one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. As for you, even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than sparrows." Well, Jesus picked on something very insignificant. Sparrows. Two for a penny. And yet he says God is concerned about what happens to the sparrows, and God knows what's happening to each individual sparrow. Again, he picks something insignificant, the hairs of our head, and says they've all been counted. God knows all about us, in other words. And both of those illustrations are designed to remind us of how much God knows and how much God cares about what goes on in the world and how much God is in control. And we don't have a true picture of reality if we simply think of life in terms of good fortune and lucky breaks. We're to think of God as being there behind it all, in control of all, the one to whom we need to come all the time and ask for our needs, whether they be physical or spiritual. And as we pray this prayer, our faith is expanded and our relationship with God is deepened. We come to appreciate how much he's really concerned about the details of our life. Of course, it's possible to explain life without God. We can come up with all sorts of scientific explanations about how we get this and how we get that. But in the end, that's vain. In the end, that's empty and useless. If we fail to bring God into the picture, we're not in touch with reality. So this is a prayer that honors God as we pray, not only for our daily bread, but for whatever needs we may have. And it's a prayer that leads to contentment. As we pray for all the things we need, God teaches us to be content with the measure that he gives us. You see, sometimes you can pray for things, sometimes over and over again, and become aware after a while that you don't really need them. And a prayer like this can help us to overcome that problem of covetousness, a problem of desiring this and desiring that when we really shouldn't desire it. Again, when we pray this way, we can learn to cope more with life the way God brings it to us. You remember that Job, when he was terribly afflicted with suffering and adversity, fell down on the ground and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now who could say that? Who could, in a situation of suffering and losing one's family, say, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord"? Only the sort of person who's spent a lifetime praying the sort of thing Jesus is teaching us to pray here. Only the sort of person who's learned to acknowledge that everything he or she has is the gift of God, even life and health. And God has every right to take these things away when it pleases him. We're told that in all this Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. You see, he'd really learnt to relate to God in the right sort of way. He'd really learnt to recognize that all the things that he enjoyed come from the hand of God. Only a lifetime of praying prayers like, "Give us this day our daily bread," can teach a person the secret of such contentment. To pray daily helps us to keep things in our lives in the right perspective. Are we obsessed with problems about our material existence? Do you worry about such things? Of course you do. Everybody does. We're all full of anxieties and worries. But why don't you pray about these things? Don't you believe that God is interested or can help in such trivial matters? I suppose that's where one of the biggest problems lies. We really think that God is not concerned about the trivial things in our lives. He's got more important things on his mind. And yet Jesus teaches us over and over again that God is concerned for such things. Listen again to the words of Jesus, this time from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Don't be worried about food and drink and all you need to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds flying around. They don't plant seeds, gather a harvest, and put in barns. Your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even Solomon, as rich as he was, had clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Will he not be all the more sure to clothe you? How little is your faith? Well, how can we pray this prayer? We can do it, for instance, by saying grace before meals, by reminding ourselves and our families that the food we're enjoying comes from the hand of God, and giving thanks to him for that. We can turn our minds, our thoughts to God at any different time of the day and pray for things we need in that situation, for food or protection, for safety or guidance, for help in the aspects of life which we find difficult and frustrating. We can offer up a quick prayer for better relationships with the people we're working with, or for God's material blessing upon some situation, some person we've come in contact with. These sorts of prayers can be and should be offered at all times in our lives, wherever we see the need. Now, some people seem to think that this kind of prayer is the lowest form of prayer simply because we're asking things for ourselves. But let's be quite clear that it's a prayer that honors God if it's prayed sincerely, because it acknowledges him as God in our lives. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's an expression of true relationship with God, of dependence on him, and it's the kind of prayer that can bring the peace of God, contentment. Heavenly Father, teach us to look to you for all our needs, material and spiritual. Help us to believe in your power to provide all we need, and your wisdom to give us what is best for us. Help us to see your goodness in all the provisions of our daily life, and to give you thanks through Jesus Christ our Lord.